Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at USPS.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Hold on, one-on-one camera. Gary, whose house, Chris?
Red's house.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, I heard that.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Let's go.
Family will make you do crazy.
I'm now done.
Earlier on the show, Colts head coach Shane Steichen, still to come. Georgia Tech head coach Brent Key. Plus, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on this here program. Lots to discuss over the last 2 hours for us to have a full conversation with you. If you want to call in to talk about it, that's all good in our hood. The NFC East will be our first of the eight NFL divisions that we will predict over the course of the next eight shows. You see how that works? That's going to be coming up later on in this hour. Great chat in hour number one with Shane Steichen, the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. And now let's bring in another coach fresh off of his big victory in Ireland over Florida State, the head coach of Georgia Tech football, Brent Key, here on the program. Good to meet you, Coach. How are you, sir?
Hey, what's going on? Doing well.
I bet you are. You jet lagged? You jet lagged right now? What do you got?
No, not at all. We got a game Saturday, so a lot of work to do.
Okay, so you're already locked in. So let me just discuss, since we've never chatted, we've never met before. You're coaching for your alma mater. What is that like for you, Coach?
Yeah, it's special, say the least. Anytime you go through an experience in your life and it helps to shape you and make you into who you are, it's important. It's etched into really your background and into your DNA. That's what Georgia Tech is to me. It's given me a lot of the opportunities I've had in my life, but I think most importantly, it taught me how to work hard. It taught me how to figure things out. It taught me how to solve problems. Did a lot of the things in my life to allow me to have some of the experiences I've had. So the opportunity to lead this program and lead these young men in their day-to-day journey through Georgia Tech, not only as a football player, but also for their life after football, it's important, and to be able to help them go through the day-to-day process of it.
George O'Leary is your guy, right? Goes without saying. George O'Leary is your coach, and then he's the one who brought you into coaching back in the day.
I mean, 1996. Well, met him in 95. Yep. So came here in 96. Worked, played for 5 years. GA'd for him, coach. So, I mean, you're talking, better part of probably half of my life I've spent with Coach O'Leary.
And then, so why did you want to get into coaching back in the day for yourself? What do you think?
Probably everybody has all these really cool things they say about coaching. And, to be honest, I love playing football. I want good enough to continue to play in the NFL, and I wanted to be a part of it. But there was a time in my life after being a GA for a year and a half, and I said, man, I don't want to do this. I'm going to go work in the real world. I've got a Georgia Tech degree. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go make money. I'm going to go make some money out there and start, get my own apartment by myself. And went and worked in the commercial real estate world here in Atlanta for a little bit of time. And it took me about 6 weeks in that before I realized that I am a football coach. I missed it a lot.
You realized, you try to leave your lane and you got back in the lane is basically what you're saying.
Yeah, for sure. Sometimes it takes something else to make you realize how much you really love something.
Right. And then, so you went with George to UCF. Is that what happened?
Yeah. Went to UCF. We were there really from the time it was in the MAC all the way up until, so MAC, the Conference USA, brief year in Big East and the AAC. And just to see that place grow from what it was to what it is now. To know we had such a an imprint, but to see the way that Coach O'Leary worked every day, and you've heard the saying, act as if, and that's the way he was every day. It was act as if, and It wasn't, well, we don't have an indoor. We don't have practice fields. It was, all right, when are we going to get them? Here's what we're going to do. In recruiting, it was never, I mean, you want to get your butt chewed off now. You say something like, well, you know, he's a national recruit, or, you know, the three big schools in the state are recruiting. I mean, that was the easiest way in the world to get your butt tore up in a meeting. So it was constantly pushing the envelope and pushing to be better and better. And that's where I think I've learned a lot of the lessons that have helped us today.
How'd you wind up on Nick Saban's radar screen, Brian?
So in 2009, we had a common opponent. We played Texas during the season. They were playing them in the national championship game.
Yeah.
You know, several people on the staff there I knew, and I went up there. I'm from Birmingham, and we were actually at the home for Christmas, and I'd gone down to Tuscaloosa and ended up sitting in the O-line room with those guys and with Joe Pendry. And Coach Pendry ended up, you know, really became a mentor to me at that point, you know, with offensive line play and offensive football, and knew several other people on the staff there. One thing leads to another, and you know, it was 2015, when Coach O'Leary retired down at UCF, and everyone moved on, and I ended up heading to Tuscaloosa.
And what did you glean from your years being in Nick Saban's coaching staff?
Coach? Well, I think you take a master's in coaching football, and you end up leaving there with a couple of doctorate degrees. Huh. And it's you know, the time management, how he's able to squeeze so much out of every second of the day, the efficiency that he's able to go about every day with, the routine that he establishes, not just for himself, but everyone on the staff and the players, recruiting, you know, the level of evaluation and how important the evaluation, and that evaluation never stops, whether they're a sophomore in high school all the way up until, you know, the day they sign with you, and then the constant evaluation of your roster. And then, you know, the big one is that no matter how hard you think you're working, he's always going to one-up you. He's always going to walk in that staff meeting the next day, and, you know, he'd leave at 10 o'clock at night, and he'd come in, and he'd have 12, 15 recruits that he's evaluated, written up, and then talk about, you know, half a book that he read that night. Like, when are you doing all this? but he was able to do it, and he really influenced everyone else around him to do the same. And if you didn't, you wouldn't make it.
So have you brought that to your game here, your coaching game to Georgia Tech? I mean, do you?
Yeah, I would say probably 90 to 95% of what we do here is probably 90% of what we do here is based off of either Nick or Coach O'Leary.
That's pretty awesome. And then did you see him? I mean, were you get a chance to run into him in Ireland?
Yeah. Coach? That was pretty cool. To be able to see both of those guys, I mean, with Coach Saban working on game day and coming to practice on Thursday, Coach O'Leary coming to practice on Friday. You know, my only regret is they were never at the same place at the same time, and I wasn't able to get a picture with both of them. So that's one thing, you know, two men that have influenced me so much in my day-to-day walk in this program, but also in my day-to-day life. You know, Coach Saban with the mindset part of the game, how the mental conditioning that you have to have, not just for your team, but also for yourself individually, you know, personally. But to see both of those guys there at that game, that was pretty cool.
Brent Key, head coach of Georgia Tech football here on the Rich Eisen Show. Run the ball, right? Those are the three words, run the ball. Obviously, we saw the game plan, a buck 90 on the ground. And what were you able to see out of the Florida State defense that you're like, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to run the counter, and we're going to keep doing it until they stop it. What about that?
Yeah, so I mean, anybody that watches us knows we're going to run outside zone counter.
Right.
I mean, those are the two things that I've run my entire career as an offensive coach, as an O-line coach. And, you know, I think they're great complements to each other. They allow you to, you know, play with tempo, varying types of tempo, and still be able to execute the plays. So, you know, finding the right formations, the right motions, the right shifts to go along with it. You know, that's the important part. And anytime you go into a game one, you don't really know how they're going to play. You think you do. You have a feel for what you've seen on tape from previous seasons, but it's all about being the best you can be. And I thought we've worked really hard since January to become a stronger football team, a faster football team, to be better, in better shape. And we were able to go out, and we wanted to establish the line of scrimmage. I think we have a chance to have a pretty good offensive line around here. and for a week and a half of practice. I mean, those guys didn't gain an inch on the ground because of some of the additions we made on the defensive side of the ball, the development of some of the defensive linemen and linebackers, the new coaches we brought in on that side, and some of the acquisitions we made in the portal and through recruiting.
And so what is it like on the sideline of a game like that where you're noticing that your will is being imposed and it's the third quarter, it's the fourth quarter, this is a game, you are in it. Forget about what people were thinking going in. Like, what happens on a sideline for you when that happens?
Well, it's the expectation every game that we go in and have that feeling.
Right.
For me personally, it feels pretty dang good. I mean, that's the feeling you want to have on the sideline. The best part about it, though, was there was 6 minutes and 33 seconds left on the clock, and we got the ball back for the last drive. And, you know, the way the game had gone to that point, that was our seventh series of the game. Florida State had seven series. I knew we weren't going to get the ball back. There was no chance we were getting the ball back. So we basically had to go into 4 minute mode. And then they had, you know, basically four timeouts. They had the three timeouts and the 2 minute timeout. So and with 6:33 on the clock, you know, that could be an eternity for some people. And we had to basically go into 4 minute mode on that drive to win the game. So it was a well executed plan that we had, and we're able to, you know, get the win and now move on to the this next week's game.
Yeah, I know, and it's moving on. I mean, how this has got to be, and again, the way you draw it up, you want to take your kids on the road. You want to take them to a spot where they're expanding their world. I'm sure this might have been the first European trip for a lot of your kids. You're trying to show them what they can do against an opponent that thought they should have been in the college football playoff last year. And you go ahead and you do what you did. I mean, what do you think? How do you follow this up? How do you bottle it? What do you do here?
Yeah, well, the big thing is, I mean, the game we played on Saturday was no different than any other game for us in the locker room, for us as coaches. We were able to leave at 4 o'clock on Wednesday, fly through the night, get there on Thursday, and go about our normal Thursday. Mm. We didn't go sightseeing. We didn't go to Castles. We didn't go to Guinness. We didn't go to Jameson. We didn't do any of those things. We were there to play a football game and to win a game. And that's no different than every game we play, you know, throughout the year. You know, we learned early on in this journey how not to lose a game, right? We learned early on then the next step game, how to win games, right? Well, the step we are right now is how to consistently win, right? And in order to consistently win, you have to consistently prepare, you have to consistently practice, and you have to be consistent on a day-to-day basis, right? Our program, where we are in the program right now, right, we've had a lot of lessons learned, a lot of lessons learned in the past, and we have to take those lessons and use them in our day-to-day, because, you know, you can't do anything about yesterday except for learn from it, and you can't do anything about tomorrow but prepare for it. So, you know, was it a big game? It was a big game for Georgia Tech. It was a big game for the fans. It was a big game it was a big stage that the program was on. But for us in the locker room, it was the next game.
Who'd you hear from? Do you hear from anybody that we might know?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah?
I'm sure there's a lot that you would know.
Who'd you hear from? I know we're just met, and I'm asking you to name drop. That's probably not your – I'm picking up your
yeah,
style
that's
here.
Not
that's, not, that's not your style. How many text messages do you have on your phone when you grabbed it?
Yeah, so, you know, reception was a little spotty, you know, in the stadium, and when you came back out. And
yeah.
Even with roaming on, I mean, they had 458 when I got back to the room
458.
That night. Yeah, but you get back to the room, and we went straight into watching the game, getting it graded, getting it done, because we wanted to be able to get – I had a team meeting at 7:15 the next morning before we left at 7:30, and I wanted to have that game closed out by the time we stepped off the plane yesterday back in Atlanta.
So you answered Roman Reigns' text first? Is that whose text you answered first?
I'm not going there, man.
Megatron? You didn't get Megatron's text first? I mean,
he was at the game, so
That's cool. How do you employ Megatron with your kids? You know what I mean? How do you utilize him in any way, shape, or form? Or how much is he willing to share of his Megatronness with your kids?
Yeah. No, look,
Coach.
Shoot. He's a Georgia Tech football player, no different than I am. Right? There's nothing asked from him. I want him to come here and be comfortable, to be welcomed, and to be able to come here and feel like he's at home still. So when these people come back, whether it's a guy like Calvin or a CEO of a Fortune 100 company, I mean, it's not coming here to feel like you're going to get, you know, hit up and ask for things. It's to be able to come back home.
Well, listen, congratulations again. I know it's just one win, and I know that you've got greater aspirations than just beating Florida State in the first game in Ireland. But, you know, I mean, it had to be pretty cool for you to have your team do that, look the way that it did, perform and execute the way that it did in week one of a season when Nick Saban and George O'Leary are hanging out. That had to be pretty cool for you, man. That it really did.
It was probably, that was probably the added motivation that I wouldn't get my tail chewed off after the game by either one.
That's a terrific motivation, but it's pretty cool. But by the way, I know you didn't go sightseeing, but to have a guy named O'Leary in Ireland, that had to open a door too, I imagine. You know, that house.
Well, you know, we played over there 10 years ago. We were at UCF, and we got beat by Penn State on the last play of the game on the field goal. So I'm sure for Coach, it was a pretty redeeming thing to come back over 10 years later and see a team win on the last play of the game.
Pretty cool. Congratulations, Coach, on that W. Appreciate you taking my call. It's nice to meet you, and I look forward to more chats in the future. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Go Jackets.
You got it. That's Brent Key, everybody. Go Jackets. Taking nice. Care of business. Running 190 yards on the ground.
That's great.
With the dub. On to the next for Georgia Tech. Pretty cool stuff, man. I love that. You know, Saban's there. O'Leary's there. He's there, and his kids do that. His kids do that. It's an extension of his philosophy. Let us go, and let's – certainly in this day and age where everybody was spreading it five wide, winging it around, who's your quarterback, who's not.
Right.
Just run the
ball. You know, and obviously he's got a talented quarterback, but he's got some guys up front who are road grading, and they just beat the tar out of him. And then second half, let's come out, let's run the same damn thing again, and it's a, 40-yard pop on the ground. Yeah. That's the way you play football. That is the way you play football. And I just love that stuff. Like, let's just pull a guy. Let's do some motion. Let's play some games on the defense and then just hit him with the same damn play anyway. There's something refreshing about that. You know what I mean?
It's old school, man.
It is that. Pretty cool. And then for two guys who are his mentors to physically be there. And then there's Roman Reigns. He texted him, right?
Oh, the tribal chief.
Did I pick on that? Did I pick up on that?
The tribal chief, most definitely.
Roman Reigns, definitely.
I like that he didn't want to offend anyone by saying who he responded to first.
No, he's just, he strikes me as one of those, you know, O-line coaches, yeah, those guys. He's old school.
All business.
He's running a counterplay in Ireland 90 friggin' times and on Florida State. He's not going to sit there and go, I got these. Let me name drop for you.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, but Roman Reigns, he's like, I'm not going there.
But the tribal chief definitely hit him up.
I'm Don't you
sure.
think?
I'm sure.
Calvin's there.
What else does he have to do?
Whatever
he's got
he
a
wants.
Business, I mean, as you know.
I know. I'm just saying he's retired.
I think he's in the same business as one of our callers earlier in the day.
He is, as a matter of fact.
Phoenix.
Yeah.
All right.
There's some good news happening. That's all I know.
Major breaking news has occurred.
Major breaking news.
Okay, I'm assuming it might be if he's happy.
Major
I'm
breaking
And he's saying it was going to happen before noon Pacific, and it does.
Yes, there's something that I guaranteed would happen today before noon.
Major breaking news.
Okay.
My sources say.
My eyes see.
Let's go.
My eyes see.
That's next here on the Rich Eisen
Let's
Show.
Go.
Breaking news, going to break. Are you struggling to close deals? Business-to-business selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals such as job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/direct. That is linkedin.com/direct for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/direct and get started. This episode is brought to you by FX's The Old Man, starring Jeff Bridges and John Lithgow. The hit show returns as the stakes get higher and more secrets are uncovered. The former CIA agent sets off on his most important mission to date, to recover his daughter after she's kidnapped. FX's The Old Man premieres September 12th on FX. Stream on Hulu. For you personally, you have an embarrassment of riches. You've got a beautiful family, a beautiful stadium. You're the guardian of the star. You've got a bust. You've got a Hall of Fame ring. You got a jacket. What you don't have is a fourth Lombardi trophy. How bad do you want it, Jerry Jones? How badly do you want this?
Well, Rich, like you said, you've been around for two decades now.
Yes.
And you haven't seen us raise that trophy. I did ask the man upstairs when I got the third one. I said, if you'll give me this one, I'll never ask again. Well, I'm asking. I'm trying to retrade that deal. And to the extent that he's listening to us, and I'm sure he is, I will do better. I've got some things that I can offer you to get that trophy. On the other hand, you know, that's why we're here. That's why I'm involved. Mm-hmm. A lot of people say and relate us to financial, but I was fortunate, lucky, and I had some resources, and I used it all to buy the Dallas Cowboys, every bit of it to buy the Dallas Cowboys.
I'm excited for this season. And on behalf of everyone in the NFL Network, greatly appreciate your support for our network, for all from Jump Street to now, and then just for me personally, I want to thank you. I truly appreciate it.
Rich, I've watched you handle Michael Irvin and Deion Sanders. Anybody that can keep them in their place deserves to be the star of the network.
Jerry, I really appreciate that. That means a ton. Best to your family, and good luck over this for the season. We appreciate the call. Thank you.
Thank you, Rich.
You got it.
Thank you, Rich.
Got it. Right back at you. Thank you. That's Jerry Jones here. Now we got to get him back. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Okay. The news we've been waiting for. Well, we've been waiting for news involving three top-notch wide receivers in the National Football League.
Correct.
It was four. Justin Jefferson got done a while ago. A long while ago.
Yeah.
Like back in June type done. So it's now time for the breaking news for one of the three that we've been waiting for.
Here it comes.
And Maria, I see.
Breaking news.
That may be my favorite drop in the history of this program. We've had many drops, many programs.
Many.
On this program.
Yes, sir.
But that may be my favorite drop. All right. Why is TJ smiling?
TJ is smiling, Rich, because the Dallas Cowboys and wide receiver CD Lamb have agreed to a 4-year, $136 million extension, $100 million guaranteed.
So makes him
his money.
The second highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. Deal includes a $38 million signing bonus, the largest ever given to a wide receiver. So he did not top the APY for Justin Jefferson? Is that what I'm to understand? Since
quick math. No, he did not.
So he slotted in right behind Justin.
Yeah.
You know,
a little bit of a deal. You know what I'm saying?
The hometown discount?
Hometown.
I mean, obviously we know no state income tax in Dallas. But that ends up being $34 million.
It does take a nice chunk out of the pie. And again, the conversation about doing this back before the draft, before A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Amon-Ra St. Brown got theirs. Could they have saved a few million bucks? I think so. And the question is would that turn into a player that can actually help them win a championship? But that's for another day.
Yep.
That's for another day, and that day might happen in January. That day might not happen at all because they might win it all.
Win what?
It. All.
The Super Bowl?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But this just goes to show you, once again, that the Dallas Cowboys waited and waited and waited and did eventually what we all knew they would have to do.
What I knew they'd do but before noon today.
Sign this guy. Sign this guy. In all seriousness, sign this guy. And they had to do it, and we knew they had to do it, and that whole all-in business of, like, going to make everybody play for their supper and stick around for the right to hold the to have the star on the side of the helmet. We knew there would be at least three individuals immune from that scenario, and one of them just got signed to a four-year, $136 million deal that could have been less expensive for the team. But again, that is all, again, for another day. Because this guy deserves it. This guy, I do believe, will not wilt under that pressure of it.
No.
He is, without a doubt, one of the best in the National Football League. And he is, without question, the most important offensive player, non-quarterback, on offense, as we all know. And they had to do this. Because without him, you're not scared of the Dallas Cowboys on offense. You're just not. And I remember when Irv first heard that he, you know, was going to wear an 88, he loved it.
And at first, CD pushed back on that. He didn't want the number, and then Jerry had to talk him and explain.
Well, who
to
wants
him.
That smoke, right?
I don't know that he fully understood either. Like what? I think he wanted his college number, and Jerry went back and was like, "No, listen, you need to wear this number."
Had to have it. Had to happen. And again, What's the APY? Have somebody done the math? Is it somewhere
34,
on the
34.
34. So could they gotten it done for 30 before A.J. Brown signed for 30?
No.
I don't know.
Probably.
I mean.
I doubt that.
But the bottom line is beating Justin. They didn't beat Justin Jefferson to the punch. And they didn't have to top it. So there's that. They had to come close.
He deserves it close.
Well, you know, who's next is Dak. And that clock's ticking.
I think we're going to go through the entire season. And
well, that would be a problem for the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, if we're all in the way you've been saying for the last few months, and Jerry's saying, I need to see how you perform,
but I'm saying
let
three,
that go the rest of the season.
But three that I think should be immune to that are the quarterback, the receiver, and the lion on the defensive line, who has, to his credit, said, I'll wait my turn.
Yeah. Well.
And so that doesn't need to get done this year. And I hope for his sake, he has a healthy 2024 because I like Micah Parsons. And he's going to be the highest paid non-quarterback in the National Football League when it's all said and done. And the question is how expensive are those contracts going to be? And how does that inform what they do with Dak? And what does that leave for the rest of the Dallas Cowboys? And could they have shaved off a few million here and a few million there with all of them to lead to a couple of other players that can actually perform to a high standard that the rest of this roster is carrying? But again, that's for another day. They got this done. They had to get it done. I'm glad they got it done now. Let's see him in camp tomorrow. Let's see his press conference with his million-watt smile in Dallas and go to work against the Cleveland Browns with a few practices under his belt. And let's hope we don't see the dreaded soft tissue business that usually does come with somebody who's not training camping it up. And we'll see what happens with Dak now, man, because that one can go all the way up to Saturday night before Cleveland. That one could get done in a, that one can get signed and scanned in, because you don't fax it anymore, no. From a Cleveland hotel room. That one can get done all the way up. Because Dak's playing, he's not holding out, it's going to happen. Because he holds every hammer and every card. Oh my goodness, does he ever. But congratulations, man. That thing's removed off the table.
I knew it would happen today.
You clearly did. I don't know. Did you hear about it from somebody?
Listen, I have sources, you know this.
Ashton?
He don't know, no.
Ashton? Ashton
Schefter
had the plug in. Well, he would know Dallas
more
Cowboys.
About he would know more about the Bears. Obviously, that's where he has you know his plugs coming from.
Ashton Schefter.
You know what I mean? You need to know about Caleb. Go to Kutcher. He'll tell you.
Hey man, I got to tell you, we didn't expect this news to come just as we were about to start our eight show long division prediction jaunt. We do this every year before the season.
I have to make a change.
We have each and every division predicted for you one by one all the way up until kickoff. Mm-hmm. And the first one up,
the best,
is, believe it or not, that money division as it used to be known when we were kids, the NFC East. We need some music, please, Jason Feller, because here it is, the first of the eight NFL divisions, one by one, predicted by us over the next 8 days, leading all the way up to our first show in Kansas City, when we will predict the AFC West. Ooh. Chris Brockman, you're first
hey,
up.
Oh, first up.
Does this change what you were going to say?
No, not really. I mean, I guess I assumed that CD was going to sign and be there week one, but mm-hmm. I do think there's just something going on with them, and I think the Dak stuff is going to kind of loom over the whole year, so I don't think Dallas is going to win the division this year. And I don't even think they're going to come in second. I like the Eagles to have a huge bounce back season. I love everything
Commanders.
About them. I just think Jalen Hurts, like the caller said earlier, like, come on, we're giving this guy, like, he had half a bad season last year. New offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore, they're going to wing it all over the place. They added Jahan Dotson, Saquon Barkley. I think the Eagles are clearly the best team in this division. And then, like, weird stuff happens, right? Jaden Daniels has a chance to have like a CJ Stroud type rookie year, and they might be kind of the surprise team and go 10-7 or something like that.
Well, you're going to say that. That would be the sleeper team of 2020.
So I think they're second. I think Dallas just has a fall off because the Mike McCarthy stuff, the Dak stuff, Micah's contract, it's going to loom over their whole season. They're super top heavy. So if someone gets injured, I don't have a lot of faith in their backups. And then the Giants are a huge kind of shrug emoji. What is this team going to look like? And so I'll have them rounding things out.
TJ?
Well, there we go. Let's see. Number coming in last place.
Were you really waiting for a music change?
I didn't know. I didn't want to step on Feller's toes. Okay. I saw him over there pushing buttons.
Very dramatic.
And stuff. So I was like, well, let me wait to see what he's going to do.
Very dramatic.
My predictions for the NFC East, guy, I think you could pretty much guess. Coming at number four, I have the Giants. I don't know what's going on there. Malik Nabers, I think, is going to be great, but I'm not sure about the quarterback situation. Plus, the quarterback is now entangled with a celebrity girlfriend. I don't know if that's, you know, going to hurt him, Chris. You know what I mean? When you get those high-profile romances, sometimes Travis Kelce, you know, it works. Other times it doesn't. I don't know what's going to happen there. The Washington football team, because that's what I called them. Jaden Daniels, I think he could be special. They've got a great receiving core. I think they're going to be a little bit better than people think they are. And now we're going to come down to the Eagles and the Cowboys. I've got the Cowboys winning the division.
That's surprising.
Simply because Dak Prescott is 9-4 against the Eagles in his career. People don't take that into consideration. I knew CeeDee Lamb would sign today. So, you know, hey, that's it. The Cowboys, the Eagles, the Washington football team, and the Giants. That is my prediction for the NFC East.
All right. Do you want to change the music?
Oh, okay.
Because I can't do it without it. My NFC East prediction, the first of the eight divisions I will predict all the way up until the kickoff. All right. I can't say the Giants finish anything but fourth. I just can't. I got to see Daniel Jones. I got to see what this running game looks like without Saquon. You can't just remove the best offensive player on your team and think, oh, it'll be just great. We'll scheme it up. We'll just figure this out. Yeah. Malik Nabers needs to have someone throw it to him. Daniel Jones, we've got to see how healthy he is and how he's going to remove any of the silly passes from his game. I do think the Giants defense may carry some days for them. That is for sure. I can't wait to see what Brian Burns looks like on that same D-line as Kayvon Thibodeau, but I still can't take him out of fourth. And I'm putting Washington in third because he's going to have a C.J. Stroud-type season, Jaden Daniels, to have the Washington Commanders perform anything better than third, I think. And that's a tall order. It's a very tall order. I don't know why they traded Jahan Dotson. That's an interesting one. I know they feel like they've got enough there, but that was an interesting one to send him to Philadelphia. So it is, again, an Eagles or Cowboys division. I do think they'll split this year, which does not make anything more easily apparent. I just think when it comes down to it, the Eagles are a better football team. I think they did more in this offseason to address their issues than the Cowboys did. That is for sure. and I know their issues are going to be, how do you replace a legend and a future first ballot Hall of Famer and Jason Kelce up front? But the rest of that line is pretty damn good, too. And how do you replace somebody like Fletcher Cox in the middle of that defensive line? I think they had trouble, as you know, on the back end of the defense, and they drafted and hit the hell out of that defensive secondary. And I do like the addition of two coordinators that remove those issues off the plate last year that Nick Sirianni was encountering. And I, you know, having Jeremy Fowler on last Friday, you were out, Chris. He came on and did a little bit more, added more meat on the bones to his deep dive, saying that Sirianni stepped up in April in front of the whole team and took the blame and accepted responsibility for last year's complete disintegration. Yeah. And I just think that the addition of Kellen Moore on offense and Vic Fangio on defense is going to be a difference maker. And I just think, again, Deron Bland's already out for the first few weeks. And I understand he came out of nowhere anyway last year. Maybe somebody else can for Dallas. Sam Williams is already out for the year. Like, this is the sort of stuff. Dallas, you call them top heavy. We will see how deep they are. I don't think, like you say, that the Dak stuff is going to loom over the team all year long. I just think
the Mike McCarthy stuff definitely will.
That is a different story. Now, that's a different story, but that guy seems to be able to block all sorts of noise out. I'm going to take Philadelphia, win the division, Dallas second, Commanders third, Giants fourth. That's my opinion. Commanders third over the Cowboys is a bold choice, sir.
It can't be chalk. Every division isn't just going to be...
Okay.
Chalk. Weird stuff happens every year. No one saw Houston coming last year. No, I know. So I feel like Washington.
I just think that it can be chalk in the NFC East. Other divisions might not be chalk.
Okay. I buy that.
Is what I will say there. And
I feel like he did that.
What
do
you got against Commanders?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Yeah. What don't I have against them?
No. But you can't say the word? You call them a football team?
That's why they've always been. I do like what their team name is, the Washington.
I do like WFT because it's sort of close to WTF.
Yeah, I like that too.
Season 2 with Susie and Amy coming up.
I really like their black uniforms last night.
I think the defense is going to obviously be better, man.
I think Jane Daniels could be really special.
Well, we had the fantasy footballers here on Friday.
Yep.
And I asked them, Mike Wright and Jason Moore were here, and I asked them about drafting a quarterback in fantasy and their philosophy of it. And he basically said, go 8-9 rounds without choosing your quarterback, that you can get a really high-quality fantasy football quarterback 8th, 9th, 10th rounds and just keep amassing the other positions. And that's the way you win. And so I asked them, give me the names of some quarterbacks where if they're there, you can win a football championship with, a fantasy football championship with. And they said Jaden Daniels more than Caleb. They liked Jaden Daniels better than Caleb Williams. Because
they probably think he's going to run more.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah. And that he's pro ready and he does have McLaurin and he does have some quality running backs and he does have a two-way threat game and so he is the way that you're proven correct and TJ and I are proven wrong. He's the way out, but CJ Stroud, brother, there's a reason why you don't see seasons like that very often out of a second overall selection as a rookie. So
it's true,
but he's definitely the way out. But they said over Caleb. They were not sold on Caleb, which I found interesting as well. And it wasn't just fantasy. They both were like, absolutely, Jaden Daniels, Tua, Goff, those guys.
You're seeing that in a lot of drafts. Like, yeah, Daniels' ADP is definitely higher than Caleb's is.
All right, we'll take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. When we come back, the story of how Chris Brockman's getting all groaned up and groaned up and our baby's all groaned up. Certainly when it comes to his schmecky fantasy draft.
Oh, man.
And I think he will use a similar adjective coming up next. Healthy hydration isn't just about drinking water. It's about water and electrolytes. You lose both water and sodium when you sweat, so both need to be replaced. to help prevent muscle cramps, headaches, and energy dips. Now, you might think drinking Beyond Thirst would be a good idea. Nuh-uh. That dilutes blood electrolyte and sodium levels, which could lead to headaches, low energy, cramps, confusion, or worse. A solution isn't to stop drinking water. It's to drink water plus electrolytes. Enter Element, created by former research biochemist Rob Wolf and Keto Gains founder Luis Villasenor. Element has enough sodium, potassium, and magnesium to get you feeling and performing your best. Plus, it has zero sugar, artificial colors, or other dodgy ingredients. Also, Element guarantees you find a flavor you love. Try fan favorites, citrus salt or raspberry salt. Get spicy with mango chili or mixed chocolate salt into your morning coffee. Element came up with a fantastic offer for us. Just go to drinklmnt.com/Rich Eisen to get a free sample pack with any purchase. That's drinklmnt.com/Rich Eisen. These statements and products have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle. You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
All right, back here. Puka Nacua is back at practice, expected to go for your.
I saw that.
The Rams in Detroit.
I saw that. Huge.
Where he will know they play indoors. Remember that? He showed up with the balaclava for the playoff game, and it kind of freaked me out. I'm like, where's Puka Nacua? Well, is he not playing tonight? Because I didn't see the flowing hair.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, then why is he wearing cold weather gear indoors? Remember we asked him that at the Super Bowl, and he said basically like he thought
he didn't know.
He didn't know the game was indoors.
Yeah, didn't know Detroit.
Just knew it was going to be cold in Detroit.
So
he took it off.
Yeah.
Did nobody tell him in the locker room, take that off? You don't need it? They just like let him go?
Yeah, I mean,
he's a rookie.
Would you tell him?
Yeah.
No, you wouldn't let him. You would let him go out there.
Of course
there
I would tell him.
No, you wouldn't, Rich.
Little hazing thing.
Come on.
You know what I mean?
Excuse me. I want him comfortable. I want those flowing locks, man, for the playoff game. I don't want him.
He was comfortable.
It's just like me with the Price is Right. Trust me. You loved it. You got more out of it by me not winning. You would have let Puka go out there just for the S and giggles of it.
Not at all. In a playoff game, all S and giggles are out the door. It's business. I want the flowing locks. I want him doing his thing. Did he catch a ball with the balaclava on? Can we look at that up in the play-by-play? Don't worry. I'm not really asking that. But the bottom line is he's going to be there
Puka
in week one. And then for the, you know,
Puka Doncic,
barring anything unfortunate, which let's hope not happening, the Los Angeles Rams home opener week three. Chris Brockman will be there because he has to attend at least three games in order to be able to improve his tickets for next year.
Does it count if you begrudgingly go to the game? Like if
they
you
can't
don't
tell
really
that.
I think that's on the.
They can't tell
that's
that.
Not it's on the official app.
It could recognize facially that you don't want to.
But
be
if he goes to more games than the past, they can't send him an email asking him if he's okay.
That's true.
They can't do that.
That's messed up.
It's not messed up. Back on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204 Rich, number to dial.
1-800.
Let me tell you something,
Rich.
We've been talking about this for a while, a long while. Worst fantasy draft ever, without question, belongs to Chris Brockman in the league he wants to win the most. The Keeper League, it's all of his buddies from college, right?
Yep.
Right? All you Syracuse.
A bunch of Syracuse people, yeah.
Okay, all you Syracuse
a couple
honks.
We've added throughout the years.
Yeah, throughout the years.
And yeah, yeah.
You,
I've won twice,
ago.
By the way.
Terrific. Congratulations
on
that. Two-time winner.
Champs. Thank you
excellent.
So much.
Keeper League, whole thing.
Keeper League, the whole
You're
deal.
Focused on it a lot. And I don't blame you because you want to win those leagues against
so
some
bad.
Old friends of yours.
Yep.
And And then when you first told me about this league, which was at least 15 years ago, has to be,
a long time. My
first reaction was, well, that's crazy. Then I started having children. And I'm like, why in the world would you want to do two things? One, I understand flying somewhere for it. That's understandable. But after a while, it's like, am I really going to get on a plane to do something that I don't have to get on a plane for? But you want to hang with your buddies.
Right.
You want to make it seem like, you know, it's like old school. Your boy Blue might be wrestling, you know, whatever.
And a lot of times...
the only time of the year, you'll get together.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So a lot of times, this is the only chance for us all to get together.
Right. It's like the little chill.
Yeah.
Not the big chill.
Right.
And so... you're getting together and it's, you know, because you love football. It's in the town of the team that won the Super Bowl.
Correct.
Which is kind of a cool.
It is an interesting wrinkle.
Like whoever wins the Super Bowl, you go there.
And then he told me that there is no time constraints on how long a team has to choose somebody.
Like Master P, there's no limit.
Now.
No limit.
Those are fighting words. Like literally, I would throw down with people who I would adore. You know, 90 seconds for me is long enough.
Yeah, you're kind of like a let's go type cat.
90 seconds is long because at some point, you know, it's fun fantasy drafting. It's fun, you know, kibitzing with your friends.
Kibitz.
It's fun doing that.
I like the
but
kibitz.
After an hour and a half, 2 hours, like I get the point. Like, let's go. Let's see the team. Let's finish up. Now we can hang
now,
out.
Wait, let's go out.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. There's things to do other than sitting around and seeing, you know, who that third receiver is going to be on the Arizona Cardinals if you want to draft him in the 12th round, you could already be digging into a stake somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, correct.
And you push like back, that? Man. You're like...
yes, for years.
And then even you just had fun with one guy who took 28 minutes 1 year to draft Brian Hartline. And I said, I would have absolutely throat punched the guy.
Oh, yeah.
In the eighth round. And then one year...
Like after 5 minutes.
Yeah. And then 1 year at NFL Network, Brian Hartline was there. And I got to tell that to his face. And he laughed and said, what was that guy doing?
Yeah. Even Brian Hartline's like, why would you take 28 minutes to choose somebody?
For me?
And then my name is what gets spat out.
Yeah.
So I told you, Chris, for years that as you grew older, when you and Sarah had beautiful, sweet, lovely, adorable, squeezable Cage Brockman.
Yep. First day of school today.
Is that right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Awesome.
As new school.
That this would be an aggression that cannot stand. And now you're back from the draft, right?
Yes.
Where you did not go for the
However,
first time.
However, I did not go.
Why is that, Chris?
The first time since 2012, I did not go.
Why not?
Well, there were a lot of factors. For one, we have in our draft a clause where if a team does go back-to-back, since we had already gone to that city, we can vote to go to the losing team city. So I was like, cool, we're going to go to San Francisco this year. That's going to be awesome. Never really been up there aside from our Super Bowl trip in 2015. Play some golf up there. It's going to be great. Short West Coast trip. No. It got voted we were going back to Kansas City. And not only were we going back to Kansas City, they were literally repeating last year's draft that we had step by step, including having it at our friend's uncle's basement, which was a fun time.
Last year, mostly, but that did not
interest me personally.
Your friend's uncle's basement.
To do that again. I did not want to do that again.
They don't put the lotion in the basket in there, do they?
It rubs the lotion on its skin.
And so also, this same group of people,
put the lotion in the basket.
One of our buddies got married last month in Maryland.
Oh, so you saw him.
So I saw everybody a month ago.
Okay.
And
we're going to Kansas City
combined
next week.
With us going to Kansas City in 2 weeks and... a cross-country flight that you and I took the week before to go to Fanatics Fest.
Got it.
I was like, I'm out.
And just so that everyone knows, we are doing all three shows of the Rich Eisen Show next week in Kansas City. And the location is not anybody's friend's uncle's basement. We're going to be in the mix. We're going to be downtown. We're going to be in the mix. How far away from the mix is your friend's uncle's basement?
Oh, it's an hour away in Kansas. It wasn't even in actual Kansas City, Missouri.
So there was
just
the matter with
there was
people?
Just a lot going on.
What is the matter?
It was a really contentious, big to-do earlier in the summer.
And you've never had this issue because this is the first repeat championship in two decades.
Right, right. And we had been to New England a couple of times when the Patriots recently won 3 out of 5 years, but we voted to do it in L.A. the 1 year when they played the Rams.
Okay.
So this had never really come up.
You didn't go
and I was just like, I'm out. I'm not coming. I went up to Ojai for a day and a half to check out, and then I drove back home early Saturday morning to do the draft at my house. And I got to tell you, it was amazing to be home alone.
Because you could do whatever you want.
I did laundry. I went to the store between picks.
Oh,
I made wings. Right? I mowed the lawn. I got so much done at my house alone by myself.
What an adult.
It was tremendous.
Our baby's
and
all grown-sed up.
On top of it, Rich, this is going to drive you insane.
And he's grown-sed up.
It was the longest draft ever. It was 9.5 hours.
That is such an outrage.
I'll slap somebody.
They started early. They moved it up from Kansas City, so it started at 8:30 Pacific time and didn't end till 6 p.m.
What an outrage.
Pacific.
Why would it? Why would you want to spend nine hours to draft a fantasy football league?
I don't know. And
they're keepers, too.
They're keepers.
What an outrage.
Which that should cut at least an hour off.
Honestly.
No, the keepers we did the day before, and it still took 9.5 hours.
Oh, no, man. See,
he didn't even have his kid there. And you're grown up.
It was one of the great things done. So amazing.
Could you imagine
so much accomplished?
You'd have to fly anywhere. You'd have to go anywhere.
There's no directs from LA to KC. Would had a connection. Oh, it was just
What's next for him now? What's next for him now?
No, we're not changing the burger draft.
Which he's got to get rid.
We're not changing
of
the burger draft.
Birthday celebration. Of going to the same place.
That was a bridge too far, Rich Eisen.
Rich, you can't
the same place and making people go there. And then have a draft about what burger on a menu with multiple burgers that they can have and potentially wind up with something they are uninterested in eating.
Bridge too far.
I mean, that is true.
Now, that's next, Chris.
Well, maybe
now,
in 10 years.
That's next 10 years.
Maybe in 10.
No. You didn't think you would turn on your fantasy draft so quickly.
I didn't. But I got to say, this year was pretty great.
You're like
not being there.
You're like Hogan at Bashing the Beach in 96,
it was pretty great.
Man. You just.
You know what's
going to
be the final straw? You know what's going to be the breaking of the back?
For this draft?
Yes. You know what it is? When the Chiefs three-peat.
Oh, man.
And next year's draft is in the same uncle's basement.
You won't have an excuse to not go.
In Kansas. What's the matter with your friends? What is the matter with him?
I ask that all the time.
Okay.
This is, however, I will say, not being there allowed me to prep the night before and get a lot more focused.
Prep.
And this is the
man.
Best I've felt
what is that,
coming
prep?
Out of a draft
what
in a long
prepping?
Time.
What is prepping? It's absurd. You just
see
who's on the clock. You see four or five people.
No.
Which one speaks to me?
Rich, you've got to look at bye weeks. You've got to look at different scenarios.
They have the bye week written right next to them.
I know, but you still have to look and see to make sure you're not getting guys. Who...
I feel great about my team coming out this year.
I don't even want to ask who it is because I'm so annoyed by everything.
I'll tweet it out, sir.
Great. And people will definitely care.
They will. Why wouldn't they care? Everyone cares about your fantasy team.
I got some great rookies, keeper possibilities next year.
Oh, great.
Dalton Kincaid fell to me.
Oh, that's great, man.
I'm excited.
Did that happen while you were mowing the lawn?
And that's when he was making the wings.
I think actually, it was pre-wings, mid-lawn.
Oh, great. By the way, there's people directly behind me.
They're interested in my draft.
There they are.
See,
right there.
They're coming out the woodwork to hear Brock's
team.
Oh,
my gosh.
See, you thought no one cared, and there's their they
are.
They
literally
there
care.
Are. They're going to their friend's uncle's basement. There you go. How it's starting, how it's going.
I look the same.
That'll wrap up this show. Back on Tuesday.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Tucker Carlson, what is it that you think that people gravitate towards?
I'm not self-aware. I refuse to be self-aware. I don't even look in mirrors at all, which you can probably tell from my appearance. I don't have a crazy high IQ, or I really don't have that many skills. I would say my main skill is I believe my instincts. I don't hesitate to follow my instincts, ever. The extent that I have gotten in trouble.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.